not a worthy of myself, but worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who made it possible. Shall we speak to the Lord? Our Heavenly Father, we do bow in your presence, thanking you, O God, for the time spent here, where we can gather together to focus on the person, the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his sacrificial death. And we thank you, Father, that because of this, we can have life, life everlasting, through Jesus Christ. As we look into your word, O Father, we ask for your guidance. And we do pray, O God, that your spirit can touch the heart of both speaker and those listening. That through it, Father, we can be blessed, our life can be energized to go out and serve you faithfully. We ask you these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Morning again. And we want to turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we are reading from verse 17. I keep these things on every day so much that sometimes it's hard to take it off. But sometimes my wife reminds me that I'm not at work. Sometimes she tells me to put it on. Okay. Now, we'll read from verse 17, as I said. Now, in the evening, he came with the 12. Now, as they sat and ate, Jesus said, Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And he began to be sorrowful and to say to him, one by one, as is it I? And another said, is it I? Verse 20, he answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Verse 22, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. As assuredly I say unto you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written. I'd like to share with you some thoughts on the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. Week after week, we gather together to participate in the Lord's Supper. And I think it's so important when we recognize why we gather and in what manner we gather, we ought to be. And I think it's so important because of the Lord's Supper is a memorial for our Lord Jesus Christ in his finished work and the cross of Calvary. And his work that he continues to do today. Yes? The portion that I've read may have some portions that may have to do with the Passover supper. And as they gather together, if we had read the preceding verses, they actually gathered the things together that they gathered were for the Passover supper. So the purpose for the gathering was for the Passover supper. But as the Lord would do, he would actually make this the last Passover supper and the first Lord's supper. Now, Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, instituted this. And just before our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, the Passover Supper had been in existence for about 1,500 years. If we date back from Exodus chapter 12, we had that period of time. Now that this would be the last Passover Supper and the first Lord's Supper, the components of both events were there. Yes, there was the lamb. There were the bitter herbs. There was the wine. And there was the bread. And in that scenario, it was the unleavened bread. And the Lord's memorial, the components there, which was taken from the Passover Supper, we have the bread and the wine. Now, I know many people will ask, do we use unleavened bread, etc.? Now, at this particular supper, we don't think that they had the time to get unleavened bread, but the scripture does mention that. But I do know at the original Passover Supper, because of you remember the scenario, it was in Egypt. And even as the death of the firstborn was pronounced, if you do not have the lamb's blood on your doorposts and your lintels, and also, you gather with the components for the Passover Supper. And because of the time that it took, many people don't believe that they could have leavened the bread and let it have time to rise because of the time was so quickly. So nevertheless, we see here that there are the components for both the Passover and the Lord's Supper. Now, at the supper, many activities took place. Yes, there was singing, there were prayers, and many people will share and discuss things among each other. You see, as they gathered in the afternoon, they had to stay there until midnight. And as they got, and we're speaking about the Passover Supper now, that aspect of it. And one of the discussions that took place there always chuckles me when I think of it, when one of them asked and said, "Who is the greatest?" You know, we believers, sometimes, yes, it makes me wonder, yes, can I be as good as that person? As I see a brother that I look up to, or a sister that I look up to. And oftentimes I see attributes in them that I admire, attributes in them that I'd like to aspire to. Anyway, I'm not sure what was the motive of the particular disciple, but he says, "Who is the greatest?" And the scripture in another portion, I'm chuckling at this also, our Lord Jesus Christ got up and then went. And he, the Son of God, he who is God, he went and he garbed himself and he washed the feet of the disciples. Now, whoever that person was that said, "Who is the greatest?" I'm sure they had to shut up, because if our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the greatest, could do that, I should not have asked that question. So it was an experience. It was an experience. And our Lord Jesus Christ subsequently went and said these words, speaking of Judas. In Matthew 26, verse 21, he says, "One of you are going to betray me." They were very sorrowful, each of them asking, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Whoever dips in this dish with me will betray me." Judas then asks, "Is it I?" Well, the Lord Jesus Christ responded and said, "Whoever it is better if he had never been born." Judas left. He left the room. It's a good thing he did too, because right after this, our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper. And as we know, that the Lord's Supper requires for us not to have any unconfessed sin. And I'm going to go into that a little bit later. But Judas left. And even as he left, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper. And what exactly is the Lord's Supper? Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we should be the righteousness of God. And this was shown when there was darkness over the land for 3 hours when he was on the cross. But that hasn't come yet. We are still before the crucifixion. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he gave thanks. In Luke 22, verse 19, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And he told him, "Do this in remembrance of me." In Matthew 26, verse 28, the scripture says that he then took the cup and gave thanks for it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is shed for the sins of many." The shedding of blood was necessary to establish a covenant. We see this in the scriptures. If we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 8, we see this very clearly put. And we, in the Passover, the third cup of the Passover, oftentimes known as the cup of blessing, the Lord Jesus Christ used that cup, and we recognize there that the shedding of blood was God's way for requirement to establish a covenant. Yes, payment can be the death of an innocent substitute. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin, was that innocent substitute. He was God's lamb. Yes, so the Lamb of God was to become the Lamb. The Lamb of God was to pay the penalty for our sins. Isn't that fantastic? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God. Yes, scriptures will say that he was wounded for our sins and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Romans 4 verse 25 tells us that who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You see, resurrection was proof that God had accepted the sacrifice. Resurrection was proof that his son, of the sacrifice of his son, would be able to be just and yet justify. He was just and justified the ungodly. Yes, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he could say that, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Brothers and sisters, how do we come to the Lord's Supper? How do we come? What's our condition when we gather together? One of the things that we must make sure that we do is that we should come regularly. Again, as I say this, I look back in my high school days. The Lord's Day is here. And oftentimes I would think of so many excuses to tell my mother why I can't go to church today. But she never bought that. Not even one bit. And I began to learn, even as I saw the zeal that so many people had in coming out to the Lord's Supper, I can recognize and had a sense of guilt, a sense of disappointment in myself for not having that zeal to come out as others did. Yes, we should come regularly. And if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the scripture says that as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. We have the privilege of gathering together, remembering the Lord, but to show his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And for that we can say, praise the Lord for the privilege that we can have in doing this. We must make sure that we love and we have unity with one another. Again, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, it tells us this. Yes, in Corinth there was division. There was immorality in the church. And the Apostle Paul rebuked them when he told them that the condition is bad. They have no business to be gathering together. Yes, they had a big love feast before, but the Lord's Supper that they went to after, the Lord said that they ought, Paul said that there is no way that they ought to be doing this because it's a dishonor to God, a terrible dishonor to God. Yes, we must come also with our minds and our hearts focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when we may be here burdened because of a personal need. There are times when we may be ill, but we must ask the Lord to shut aside our wants, our needs, our problems, that we can focus on the person and the worth of our Lord. The Lord's Supper is where we gather on the Lord Jesus Christ, where we muse upon his person, muse upon his worth, and thank him for what he has done for us. We come to the Lord's Supper for self-examination. Now, actually, this morning, a brother shared with me about two terms oftentimes used erroneously with the Lord's Supper. That is that of transubstantiation, used by a group where they believe that when we gather at the Lord's table, the bread becomes changed. So the term trance is there. The bread becomes changed into the lamb. And the wine becomes changed into the blood. And we know very clearly that there's no such truth to that. There's no such truth to that. But there's even another term, consubstantiation, where they believe that the bread remains bread, but also it will also have the Lord's flesh there. And the wine remains wine, but the blood is also in it. Oh my. Our minds do wander sometimes. Yes, the bread is simply a symbol of his flesh. And the wine is simply a symbol of the blood which was shed for us. We recognize the importance of examining ourselves. And what does this mean? Shall we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I actually seem to have turned to the wrong portion. The question, though, here is that, is there any sin that we have not confessed? Is there any sin that we have not confessed and turned from? If we have not done that, we should not be in the Lord's Supper. We can sit here, but we shouldn't partake of the emblems. The Lord's Supper also is not for the sinless. No, but when we look at somebody who has acknowledged that they are guilty of a sin, that they have not yet confessed and forsaken, they are not to be here. But there are many times that we have confessed and forsaken the sin. Yes, the scripture tells us that you are forgiven. Amen. And you can partake. Second, same Corinthians. Thank you. Am I trusting in him alone for salvation? There are many people are trusting in other people, other things, other thoughts. But our salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. Am I at odds with anybody else in a meeting? A brother, a sister? If you're at odds with them, you should not be partaking in the Lord's Supper. Is there any sin that I have not yet confessed? Yes. The Lord will forgive you. The moment you confess that sin, the moment that you confess and forsake it, the scripture tells us that he deems you righteous and you can participate. Brothers and sisters, we have a beautiful experience Sunday after Sunday with the Lord's Supper. We have a time in which we gather together to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider what it cost him, when we consider the cross, how the pain and anguish of crucifixion. Remember, it was illegal for a Roman to be crucified. It was deemed illegal because the suffering was so great, they thought it was inhumane. But our Lord Jesus Christ, not only was he crucified and went through the physical pain and anguish, but he who knew no sin became sin for us. When our Lord Jesus Christ was on that cross, even as there was darkness over the land for that period of time, he cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, even as that spear went into his side and out came blood and water, yes, we see that there is clear evidence that he had died. Brothers and sisters, do we love the Lord? Brothers and sisters, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's emblematic of our love for him, of our worship, of our praise, of our adoration, and it's also a remembrance feast of what he went through. And even more so, it blesses my heart knowing that one day we will see him again. May God bless you for his name's sake. Father, we do thank you for everyone gathered here. We thank you, Father, for the precious feast that you have given us. We do pray, O Lord, that we might partake of the feast worthily. And we ask you, God, that even as we do leave, and that we muse upon our lives, that we may live, O Father, a life that's worthy of your calling. For Christ's sake, amen.